And the Academy Award goes to Dean Richards, talks to nominees and shares his predictions.
I did not have him in the poll.
No?
Or the poll.
Put him in. Vote for Dean. Share his predictions for the big night. That's what he's going to do. That is tonight's cover story, WGN TV News at 8.
Good. It's interesting. I've got my own set of predictions. We'll do that tomorrow. We got Mr. Roper on with us tomorrow talking about that.
And we both just saw Get Out.
Yep. That's I got now. I'm down to one last film.
That's it for the best picture.
For best picture that I've yet to see, and I'll see it tonight, which is that The Shape of Water.
How many? Wait, how many nominees are there?
Seven.
In best picture? Seven. Okay.
And five in every other category.
Mm-hmm.
So you can go up to 10. I think that was a bad idea.
I do too. It's a lot to get through.
But they wanted to. Yeah, but that's you know, Austin Goolsbee is holding on. He doesn't need to listen. This is very important stuff going on in the world, and we're talking about how many Best Picture nominations there actually are. Oh my God!
The market's going crazy today,
yes,
for
sorry
sure.
About that, Austin. By the way, who do you think is going to win the Best Picture? Just before you know, quickly.
I don't know. I guess I saw it was granted on an airplane, but I saw the three billboards outside Missouri. I thought it was weird. I mean, I thought it was
interesting.
It was offbeat. I guess people are saying that's going to win, but I don't know. That wasn't my.
Didn't
that
hit
wasn't
for, you.
For me.
Okay. Well, if you think that was weird, don't see Get Out. Wow. I mean, The Shape of Water too. Doesn't she fall in love with the sea monster? I don't know.
Yes.
There's a lot of things going on here.
I don't get that one either.
Right.
I mean, look, I'm all for creativity, but some of these are weird. So I guess I'm for Dunkirk or
The Post is not nominated, and The Post is like one of those standard, you know, kind of movies. You know. Like an epic and a historic epic, you know, that always tend to do well, but they didn't nominate it this year.
Everybody loved.
All right, this is not why we called, Austin.
Okay.
Yeah, let's not waste our time with this. All right, so the president today sits down. He's got the new CEO, the new chairman, I guess it is, of U.S. Steel sitting with him at the White House. And this is a guy who's also an executive here in Illinois before he went over to U.S. Steel. He's going to revamp the company, and they're going to, you know, steel and aluminum are going to be back in America. And then simultaneously, the president announces new tariffs on imported steel. And this is a shot at China specifically. Markets take a tumble immediately. Can you explain that relationship first?
Yeah, look, two things happen why the market would tumble. One, everybody who looks at the economy knows, hey, wait a second. A bunch of companies use steel in their product. The automakers use steel. You saw the head of Airstream Trailers say, wait a minute, we use aluminum. Well, I am really hoping they're not going to raise the price of aluminum. So one is a bunch of people are directly affected in a negative way, and probably 2 to 3 times more people negatively affected because the prices go up of the stuff they're using than the U.S. steels and others benefit. Then the second thing is, what we really have to keep the eye on here is, how does everyone else react when we do this? Because if they raise the tariffs on our stuff, and then they make the president angry, and he says, oh yeah, well if you're going to raise it on bourbon and soybeans, and we're going to raise it on this other, we could be off to trade war, and then they really would be in a panic, because then we would probably be talking about recession.
Right.
Because as much as China is, you know, they're beating us, they're, you know, the president does, I don't know if you've noticed this, Austin. I know you've worked for presidents before, so this may come as a shock to you. This particular president operates a little differently than the other ones, and he has a tendency to exaggerate positions and points, and everything is the best or the worst. And so when he talks about how China's beating us, it's, I'm sure that plays very well for people who are staring at their town, and they're seeing, you know, the old mill busted out and the meth and all the rest of it. That core that he's talking to right there, they go, yeah, all right, well, that is China's fault, and we got to go get them. But China is a gigantic consumer of American goods and services as well.
Yeah, look, I think that's true. But I also would point out two things. First, he specifically said this about China. China is not in the top 10 steel exporters to the U.S. It's not even in our top 10.
Right.
7 of the top 10 steel exporters to the U.S. are our close military allies, including Germany, Japan, Canada. So I kind of think part of that's just confused. And on the other part, yes, I fully get how if you worked at an aluminum factory, you would say, hey, this is great. We're going to be able to charge higher prices, and our companies will make more money because we won't face any competition. But how do you look in the eye the guy who works at the Airstream trailer plant who's now going to lose his job because Airstream trailers got more expensive and fewer people are going to buy it? That's what I don't get.
Well, that was the president's point today. He wanted to level the unfair playing field, he says, that's been in existence for years. And he touted it as a bring back jobs to the U.S.
I know that's what he said, but I just think he's only looking at the steel. And he's saying, I can bring back this job in steel. But the implicit cost to the economy of doing that is two or three jobs in the auto plants and the people who use the steel. And he's not putting any weight on those people's jobs, and I just don't get that.
All right, let's stop for a second here, and let's talk about the next step on this. One of the things, obviously, the president's very interested in is this America First nationalism issue platform that he's been talking about and running on. And again, he's running again, right? Because he's the earliest ever candidate for president, the earliest announcement of running for re-election in the history
he's
of the presidency.
But campaign manager.
He's got, as he looks at this, there is the issue of having steel and aluminum manufactured here because those are the metals of war. You need those. Is this about kind of going back to that 1940, 1941 footing of making sure that industry is up and ready to go in case you got to do it just internally and all of your external stuff is cut off? I mean, is that a little bit of the sidelight here?
I don't think so. I mean, they might say that, but that's are we really quite nervous that Canada is going to cut us off? I mean, Canada is the biggest exporter of steel to the U.S.
I am now. Have you seen how he treats that guy? Yeah, I am. I kind of am.
They're not happy.
They might build a wall.
You know, if you ever go to Canada, it turns out like in some war of 1812 or something, we fought some battle against the Canadians. If you go to Canada, they're saying it's like, we defeated America at the Battle of the Bloomsburg.
Yeah, the French-Indian War.
Like, we don't know anything about that. What battle? Wait, we attacked you?
I mean, there was an issue. Well, that's a Quebecois issue.
Look, I don't know. Like I say, that might be some rationale. I think if your view is what America needs is a strong and healthy industrial sector, the way to get that is not by trying to build walls to protect just one metal-making industry. In fact, that's going to heavily undermine lots of the industries in the U.S. that use steel. That's what doesn't make sense about it.
Well, will this work, though? Let's just come back to here for a second.
Compared
because, Austin, you are – well, hold on. You're University of Chicago economist and also former presidential economic advisor. When you go to work, or let's say you get on the Skyway and you've got to pay the $15,000 to go across the Skyway, but you see all those former steel mills, and you get down and you see all the former steel mills, and you see what was there. Will those steel mills on the south side of Chicago and northwest Indiana become more productive, come back to life, or become more productive? The ones that are still there.
I doubt that it will bring back steel mills that shut, where a lot of those big mills, as you probably know, they shut because of competition from mini mills domestically, not from foreign. And they were high-cost producers. I don't see how high-cost production plants would come back. I think it probably will lead to more activity in the steel industry. So there'll be some places where steel plants have more action. That certainly the prices are going to go up for steel, and that I don't know if they will share the bounty with workers, but the shareholders of those companies will probably do better. I just can't get away from the fact of, when did we stop caring about industries that use steel and aluminum? My dad he's retired now, but he worked most all of his career at a manufacturing company that made refrigerated trailers, like not the truck, but
reefers.
The trailer.
Yeah.
Yeah. And aluminum is a critical ingredient to making those trailers. So every trailer manufacturing company in America is going to say, this didn't work out exactly how we wanted it. I thought you were trying to save American industry, not drive up our costs and drive us out of business.
Right. So net-net, you think this is a job loser?
I think for sure net-net it's a job loser.
Someone should have told him that beforehand. I don't know.
Can you get it to his ear?
I'm sure he would have been open to hearing that.
Sure. Anything,
hi, Austin Goolsbee on line two.
Yeah, anything that disagrees with his thought, he's always his first. I just want to listen. You know, I still haven't figured out.
Open for a listening tour. Policy listening tour. That's what's to come next.
Well, that was what he did with the gun thing yesterday. And now look, it's sort of like I was listening and he started talking. And then all of a sudden, everybody in the room, Republicans, Democrats, the NRA, everybody goes, what did he just say?
I know.
What?
In a way, it was funny. But in a different way, it's kind of sad. They always, all presidents before this, they have speech writers. There's a whole division on proclamation. They take extremely seriously the words that the president says because the words of the president have such gravity. And what you realize now is the president said these various things about guns, and the only reason that it didn't lead to more of a brouhaha is people said, well, you don't have to listen.
Yeah, don't worry about it.
The president says all kinds of stuff.
That's
true. Like, what? The president says all kinds of stuff?
Yeah. Well, you know, and he's doing it right because everybody else before him did it wrong. As you'll recall, I mean, you were part of the Obama administration. You know how screwed up, how you guys did everything wrong. And the George W. Bush.
It was 50%.
Yes. And George W. Bush did everything wrong. And it was, again, everybody did everything wrong. And he's the one who's going to do it right. So we got that. That's nice. All right. Austin, thank you very much. Appreciate it.
Thanks, Austin.
Yeah, always fun.
All right. Austin Goolsbee from the University of Chicago Booth School of Business. Okay, well, we got that one figured out. Got that knocked out. Coming up, Tom Skilling is going to explain meteorological spring to us. And then that's going to get... and then we're going to actually help our own Violetta Podomatic on her elevator pitch.
Well, I want to ask Tom if this is appropriate kind of elevator etiquette to talk about meteorological spring.
Yeah, we're going to find out about that. That's coming your way. But first, Judy Pilak stands by WGN News and 2.